therefore open the floor for the election of the chair. Thank you, members. Thank you, honourable member.
I nominate Mastori as the temporary chairperson for now. Thanks.
Any seconder? Thank you, member.
Was that recorded? My story seconded by Ma Rob.
I thank you, Honorable Mom Robson. Are there any further nominations?
No.
Thank you, Honorable Kala. In the absence of further nomination, I'll therefore hand over to Mam Mordua to chair the meeting. I thank you.
Consideration of the amended committee program. I think the secretary will be doing that. Yes. So we give it over to you, secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members, again. Members will recall that in our previous meetings we have adopted the program. However, we had to change the program in order to meet the deadline. Initially, when we adopted our program, we requested a deadline of the 27th of February, which was approved by the House. But due to some challenges that took place, we had to change the program. So I will go through the amended program. On page 7, can I go through, members? Yes. We have already had our first meeting, which was on the 24th of October, and the second one was on the 31st. Can I continue? Okay. The second one was on the 31st of October, and then the following days it was the administration from our side in terms of uploading all the CVs and the civil society comments, and the closing date was 18 January 2019. And then the first meeting of the committee, which was this year, was on the 22nd and 23rd January, which was to update on the progress to filling of vacancies on CGE and deliberation on criteria for shortlisting candidates, which was done. And then the next meeting is today, which is 19 and 20, if we didn't finish the shortlisting process. And then from the week of 21st to 1st of March, that is 1 week, to for administration to do all the approvals and then confirming of flights and everything for candidates who will be shortlisted. And then the interviews will take place on the 1st, on the 5th, Tuesday, the 5th and 6th of March 2019, and then deliberations on the 12th of March, and then adoption of the report will be the 13th of March, and then debate in the House 14th of March. What Chairperson has done was we requested also the further extension so that we can meet the deadline of the 14th of March, which is still in the office of the Speaker. When we drafted the program, we looked at the parliamentary program, which will end, I think, on the 20th of March. And therefore, by the 20th of March, we will have completed the process. Thank you, Chair.
There you have the program. Are there any comments or advices or whatever? Honourable Stander.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to just ask a few questions. Apparently, the delays caused to this committee include the human resources facility and department, those resources within Parliament itself. Apparently, the HR department is understaffed, undercapacitated. Has that been resolved? Have members been appointed from the HR committee to deal with the screening, etc., that they are supposed to fulfill? Has that issue been resolved? Further, the State Security Agency, that department has also failed to present its report to this committee for 3 weeks, which is why we've had to cancel at least 2 weeks of committee meetings, which has set us back. Has there been a commitment from the State Security Agency to provide this committee with its report, and when? On the program itself, with regards to the budget and the status, those two columns, firstly, I want to know whether those budgets have been approved as reflected in the program. Has this committee so far adhered to that budget? And in terms of the status column, it says pending approval on everything. So I just want to find out about that. We've received the screening framework or the shortlisting framework, etc., and the shortlisting. According to the shortlisting and the rather large packs we've received of applications, was 88 the total number of applications received, or were there more, but perhaps they didn't submit all of the financial documentation? In terms of the applications, have all applicants submitted their fingerprints, or are they still outstanding, and what are we doing to ensure that they meet those requirements so that we can proceed?
Doesn't that belong to the State Security, what you're asking now?
It's
the fingerprints and everything.
Okay, Madam Chair, it's to do with the applications and how it's going to affect our program. Because, yes, the State Security has to vet them, but the applicants themselves are responsible for going to Home Affairs or the Police Department, printing their fingerprints, and then sending them through to Cisnelli. So that could affect our program, hence my question. Then, Cisnelli, in terms of the extension that has been submitted to the Speaker's office, the requesting the extension to 14 March, if I heard you correctly, you said that it's still sitting with the Speaker's office. Ngoba, when are we going to get that deadline approved? I'll stop there for now. Because all of those things can severely affect the performance and completion of the work of this committee. Diabulela.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Let me start with the easier one. The extension, we submitted it when, was it Thursday? Last week. So we haven't received any response from the Speaker's office. Normally, they respond through the ATC, as it was done the last time, the extension of the 27th of February. In terms of people who have submitted their fingerprints, we gave members a document, a two-page document, that indicates how many people have submitted. So not all of them have submitted. We have about 78 candidates who have submitted their fingerprints. We normally receive it every day, and then we have to immediately take it to the protection service to continue. In terms of the HR, there is a report that we also submitted to members. Also, it's not complete. You will see under progress and comments, it's saying copies not attached, others are saying no concern for others is completed. So the report is still not complete for all the 90 candidates. No, it should be 88, yeah. In terms of the program pending, what we did was to submit also, whilst we submitted a letter to the Speaker for approval, we've also submitted the program to the House Chairperson, which was approved. So I will remove that pending. And in terms of the budget, this is, I think committee has adhered to, it's more on catering, the more one, it's just a propose, it's not a final. For instance, when we do the logistics for candidates, we have to source codes for accommodation if they have to sleep, for flights and for ground transport. So it will change the budget that is in here. The vetting, it's the pre-screening. I have not received any response from the protection service, from the state security agency, except for the ones that from HR. So I will make a follow-up again from after this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
I think Uneli has captured everything. Just to add emphasis on the issue of number of applicants, we initially received 90 CVs, but one of them, the CV was submitted in support of that candidate nominating another person, so she was never in the running from the first place, and the second one withdrew because she has received better employment opportunities. So we left with 88.
Okay. Ma Robert.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to express my concern about the fact that the State Security Agency has not responded yet. This is really unacceptable, and I think apart from Neliswa investigating on our behalf, Neliswa the Secretary, we must do more ourselves as members. We cannot have such an important appointment being postponed through inefficiency. They've had more than enough time since December last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Neliswa mentioned that the fingerprints submissions. I would like to ask perhaps Herman to respond to my question. If only 78 fingerprints have been received by the time we do the shortlisting, then what happens in that case? Should all the fingerprints, like should all 88 fingerprint documentation be received before shortlisting? And what happens if we proceed with shortlisting and more fingerprints come in? So what would be the decision legally in this case that we have? Because 10 fingerprint documents are outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you again, Chair. As I said in the beginning, it is unacceptable that State Security Protection Services have failed us to date. I know that our Chief Whip in the Programming Committee last week, Wednesday, raised this issue on our behalf, and in that meeting there was a commitment made that the Minister of State Security would be approached to inform him of the issue and speed up the process. However, if we still have not received anything, I think that all political parties should take this up and write to the Speaker, as well as the chairperson of the committee. I think that our chairperson should send a letter to the Speaker on behalf of our committee, expressing the difficulty that this committee is experiencing, just so that we keep that pressure on. Otherwise, we've got less than 3-4 weeks to screen, to shortlist, to get them up here and interview them, to fulfill. So that is a proposal, Madam Chair.
Honourable Stanley, you have raised many, many questions that have officials have attempted to respond to. And I would like to have other people also who would give us their consent. Your recommendation right now that parties who are represented by yourself in this, I am saying, Honourable Stanley, parties that are represented by yourselves in this ad hoc committee. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what else did you want to say. You wanted to explain something to me. And I don't see any need for each and every party to be writing a letter, because this ad hoc committee is formed precisely to represent all the parties. If it's so, it is recommended that another attempt should be made. It must be made by the other committee, I think. I think that would be proper. Doctor?
I was just about to say that we don't need third parties to do our work for us. We need to actually summon whoever is responsible to come and explain to us here, because we can't shortlist without getting those people vetted. Otherwise, all of them may be rejected after we have shortlisted them because they don't qualify, and we are wasting time and resources. So it is our duty to make sure that whoever is responsible come here, summoned here to come and explain to us. We don't write letters to people anymore. We have done the letter writing, we have done the pressuring, but now it's time we exercise our powers and call them to come and account to us here. That's what I want to suggest. Letters may be answered, they may not be received, they may be forgotten, but if we call them, they have to oblige. Thanks.
Okay. Who was the first? Okay. Okay, come in. Yeah, you may come in.
Ngibonge Hlalo. Mina kwami nje kuzoba ncane. Lana le committee bemiso ukuthi kusenziwa ama kusawubhekwa ama fingerprints angithi kulaba bantu. Umbuzo wami ukuthi ngoba manje akakenziwa wonke yini esihlalele ngaba kuyona i-US fruit expenditure lena na lokho nje kuphela. Yeah. Mayingabe akakenziwa wonke.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is just a short question. Mine is based on the issue of the fingerprints, Chairperson. I just want to know that if all the fingerprints are not available, why should we continue with this process? Is that not wasteful expenditure? Thank you. If we continue.
Compliments, Honorable Van der Merwe.
Hello, Mom Story. How are you?
Fine.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think, you know, it's quite concerning that we are now about 4 weeks before the end of this term of Parliament, and we've got a very important job in front of us, because the fact of the matter is all is not well at the Commission, the Gender Equality Commission. In fact, there is some internal struggles, which of course will have to be dealt with, and it will be dealt with by a change of leadership, which is what we are supposed to be doing. But the fact of the matter is we cannot shortlist any candidates at this stage without the vetting procedures having been finalized. And at this stage, I hear what the doctor is saying. We should summon the person to come and explain to us why that information is not available. But the second question is whether they have finalized the processes that they should have. But also, I think the speaker should give us an indication as to what, because firstly, Parliament will have to now give us an extension to the work we are doing. But secondly, I think it's very important that the speaker is made aware that we are struggling to move forward. Because in this instance, we are being hampered from completing the task that Parliament is expecting us to do. And it's only because we are not getting the assistance we are required as a committee. And surely that becomes then an issue that the speaker herself must be aware of. So I would really appeal that we as a committee firstly, to go through the process of summoning the people to come and appear before us, but the speaker is made aware that we are struggling to complete this process because we can't shortlist at this stage. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to agree with Honorable Van der Merwe that we make the speaker aware of the challenges that we are faced with. But also I wanted to agree with Honorable Maisela that we get commitment from the SAPS or the protection services, because really we have been here for a long time and postponing our meetings because we don't have the vetting report. So maybe we must ask the chairperson today she must meet with the speaker and also go straight to the state security to get their report. They must tell us if they've got some challenges so that when we go and ask for extension, then we know what is the challenge, because we did ask for an extension last year and we are still going to ask for extension again. And if we don't do it now, the 20th of March is very soon and we won't be here. And it would mean that maybe this thing will be parked until the 6th Parliament, and it's not what we want. Thank you.
What I'm getting here is that, before you respond to all this recommendation, what I'm getting here are two recommendations. The very, very important one is to notify the speaker. While maybe we get someone to come and explain from, because I don't think it's possible for the chairperson to be running around and going, I think I recommend the one that they must come here and come and explain. I don't know where you can maybe clarify some of the things so that, but I think these recommendations are valid, because really we can't go on with work. And what are you going to shortlist? You see, I think they should start taking things seriously, because if the deadline, we don't meet the deadline, it's a failure of this ad hoc committee, which also, you know, some of the people here, everyone, wouldn't like to have such in their CVs, that you failed to do your work at one instance when you were deployed to an ad hoc committee. I don't want that such a reputation, you know. Nobody likes it. I think you can respond, and then we can summarize and finish.
Thanks, Chair. I think there's no response from it's a recommendation by the committee. I think as a support staff, we just need to implement the recommendations of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
I don't think we leave it hanging like that. Who writes the letter to the speaker? The approach to the speaker must be done today. Maybe the chairperson hasn't come in. Is it for the chairperson to go there, or would be accompanied by one or two people to go in there? I don't know what do you think? Oops. Madam Roberts.
Thank you, Chair. If the chairperson herself will be here later, perhaps, otherwise I'd be very happy for you to approach it, and I would be happy to accompany you, and let's make this a multi-party approach. So I think that's where we must go, and it must be done today. We can't waste any more time. Thank you.
I think Herman can assist this in terms of the letter to the SSA. I know that the last time when we wrote that letter, we have to get a permission from the speaker's office in order for them to come and appear here. Herman, I think you can assist him.
Thanks, Chair.
First, let me respond to the Honourable Member's question on the issue of the screening process. Unfortunately, as far as in my experience with the issue of the SSA, they don't like to submit an incomplete report. Actually, another committee which I was working on is trapped in a similar situation where they cannot proceed because of the report, but they want to submit a complete report. So if, let's, for instance, now we've got 78 out of the 88, they won't submit a report of the 78. They want the full list so that they work on it. Another part which probably I think it's a hurdle which this committee has to face, because I doubt that they've started because they were busy with so on. So probably it's a process that's going to take some time to finish. As initially we had proposed that at least this pre-screening should be done for the shortlisted candidate, because now it's a bulk, 88. They have to start, they want the original. If at least the committee had submitted the list of the shortlisted, because now 88, it's not everyone who's going to be shortlisted or everyone that the list that this committee, it's a progressive proposal that at least this committee for the shortlisted candidate, because if we wait for everyone, we won't make the time. This committee won't make the time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That's the reason why we want them here to come and explain to us, not to second-guess them that they were doing sonar or they were not going to complete. Let them tell us that they are not going to complete because of this and this. Then we take it from there. Because if we second-guess them, or we get the Honorable here to explain to us that they may not do that, they may not do that, that's not objective. Right, and we don't want to be subjective in this age. We want them to come and tell us, then we can tell them, okay, we go ahead and shortlist the ones that are done, whatever, pending you. Then that's conditional, talking from objective point of view, not second guessing. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Stando, whichever. You can call me Sis Nofolos, right, Mama? Anyway. Madam Chair, this is why I want to go back to my first proposal. My concern is the delay. Number one, the speaker's program and daily commitments are full. What are the chances that we will get an appointment with her today? Hence, my suggestion that an urgent letter on behalf of the committee is submitted by the chairperson of the committee as soon as possible, as soon as she can sign that off, but that we also badger the staff in her office, her personal assistant or the people who deal with her diary, so that she can urgently at least be addressed on this issue, and so that she can consider that the extension request and note the trouble our committee is facing. So the letter to the speaker and drawing her attention to that, even if we cannot secure that face-to-face meeting today. Then on the state security, the reason why I suggested we submit an urgent letter to the minister is because, once again, if we are going to summon the a representative to come here, and we've had them here before, and they have told us there were so many applications to screen, etc., and we haven't had enough time. They are going to come and tell us our report is incomplete because there are 10 applicants who have not submitted their fingerprints. That fact is not going to change. Until we get all of those 10 fingerprints, they will not complete their report. What if those 10 people do not even submit their fingerprints within the next 4 weeks? We will not get the report from the State Security Protection Service. Hence, again, my recommendation that we submit a letter to the State Security Agency and we get a response in writing as soon as possible, rather than summon someone here, which according to their availability, our availability could delay us by at least another week. So Madam Chair, a letter to the Speaker, a letter to the Minister, following up on the 10 outstanding applicants, but also we have a shortlisting / screening framework that was submitted to us. Let us not waste the next 2 hours that we have. Maybe if we can just briefly go through the summary of the applications, go through the screening framework, so that A, we can familiarize ourselves, make sure everyone in the committee is aware, and also perhaps we will identify 5 people, 1 person, 50 people who might not necessarily meet the criteria in the screening framework. At least then we are not going to waste the next, 2 hours while we have the opportunity. Thank you, Madam Chair.
May I plead with the committee? Let us progress. Yeah. We don't go backward and forward. I thought we were going forward. Now we are going back to I thought we were agreeing on some of the things. We are just supposed to summarize it. Because as far as I am concerned, the letters in this parliament don't work. So yes. And that is why I'm mentioning the approach of speaking, going to speak with it. You know, if you write any letter to the staff, as far as I know, it might even, after elections, get a response from the Speaker's office or also from the State Security. That letter that you write will also be mentioning that we need someone here. So the whoever is the head of the State Security, whether it's the minister, they will know that we need someone here. I think so. So I think let us, in whatever recommend, let's go forward so that we summarize, please. Mrs. Robson. Honorable Robson.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with you. This matter is extremely urgent, and now is not the time to be taking the slow route. We need to be there in person, knocking on doors. I would also like to suggest that we follow on with what Herman has mentioned, that we start going through it immediately so that the State Security Agency has fewer people possibly to look at. But again, you know, for them to wait until they've got every single one before they start is ridiculous. That is red tape gone wrong. And we cannot have excuses that we had SONA and other things to deal with. How long ago was this ad hoc committee established? Last year, long before SONA. So it's a matter of being proactive and demanding. We need the information so that we can serve the people, do our job, and make sure that we've got good commissioners to go forward to deal with all the injustices that do happen in our country.
Thank you very much. I think we need just to close the meeting now, get the chairperson or you, the acting chairperson now, and Mrs. Robs, you go to the Speaker's office in person and you outline our challenges and our recommendation. then maybe by Thursday we need to come back here and get the report. If the SSA is here, they will give us the report, and we consider what Herman was saying, that we should list, and at least as we are having a shorter number, then the state security will be able to screen those people, unlike waiting for the 90 people who have applied. I think maybe we just need to close the meeting and to go straight to the speaker's office, and by Thursday we come back again and meet. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a sensible proposal, Chairperson. I think... No, because at the end of the day, we need direction from the Speaker's office at this stage. I don't think we can really progress at this stage. We need her to give us guidance. Thank you.
Madam Chair, no, that's all fine and well. I'm just sad that we're wasting 2 hours. I thought we could at least go through the screening framework and everything, but if that's the will of the committee.
Law does not have to be correct, but it's procedural. And if you don't do the procedural thing, even if you are right, the law is going to be against you. That's what I'm trying to say here. Let's be procedural, because even the law itself is not correct. But if we don't do the procedural thing, we are going to find ourselves, no, and we don't want to be challenged on the point of not having been procedural in our doing. Because somebody could say, we were biased against, we started shortlisting people before, we were conniving to disqualify them. We are done with that. She said she volunteered to go with you. We don't have to be a crowd. Yeah. So why should we now start getting who's volunteering, who's going with?
Can you do it for us?
Thanks, Chair. We've received two correspondence. The first one coming from the former chairperson, Ms. Nare, and the second one also coming from her lawyers. Actually, in the first one, the main issue, she said it's dated 23 January 2019. It's a letter to the Speaker. Let me read it in full. I write to express my concern and that of the Commission for Gender Equality on the media statement released by Honorable Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba, who is the chairperson of the... Having seen it out, Commissioner Lindelwa Bata, Wallace Mgoqi, and myself, in bracket Lula Manare, calling us beleaguered former commissioners who will be disqualified from its list of nominations, unquote. She is also quoted as having stated that, open quote, when your term ends, you must go. You can't ask for an extension or a new term. When I checked the list last week, I saw that there were commissioners who have reapplied, close quote. Firstly, beleaguered can mean any of the following: hard-pressed, troubled, in difficulties, under pressure, under stress, with one's back to the wall, in a tight corner, in a tight spot. Secondly, the chairperson then pronounced that will be disqualified from the list of nomination. It is not clear how our being beleaguered informs our omission from the list as disqualified candidates. Page 2. Based on the minutes of the ad hoc committee released by Parliamentary Monitoring Group, PMG, two candidates, Wallace Mgoqi and myself, Lula Manare, have, according to Parliamentary Legal Advice, Legal Service, already served two terms in accordance with the legislation regulating the Commission. This is strictly correct in terms of Section 4A and Section 7 of the Act. However, as the Act is silent on the difference between a full term of 5 years and a term of less than 5 years, there was an interpretation that could treat a two-year term as partial term. This was the basis upon which the parties that took the decision to recommend our nomination must have proceeded. This matter should have been amicably resolved by the ad hoc committee chairperson having an audience with the two of us, during which this interpretation, which is not contested, could have been put forward. A press statement such as the one referred to above is hardly a forum to deal with the matters relating to a Chapter 9 institution. It must always be borne in mind that these institutions carry the status of independent bodies that are charged with strengthening democratic values which are enshrined in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996. In the same minutes, the PMG minutes, Mr. Khayazweni, head of the Office of the Institution Supporting Democracy, OISD, stated that he had been tasked to follow up on irregularities pertaining to the appointment of three commissioners, namely myself, Lula Manare, Mr. Wallace Mgoqi, and Lindelwa Bata. He had been prompted to carry out this exercise by the CGE chief executive, who provided him with specific information. He then proceeded to send an email to the presidency and address to the legal advisor who dealt with Chapter 9 institution. It is not clear from the minutes what came out of the exchange of correspondence between OISD and the presidents. The ad hoc committee did not reduce this discussion to writing. In terms of Section 7(1)(a) of the Act, the CGE Chief Executive Officer is appointed to assist the commissioners. In this instance, with the concurrence of the OISD, the CEO exceeded her mandate in proceeding with a matter of this nature without the full knowledge of the commissioners and without the benefit of sound legal advice. The committee's chairperson's comments that these irregularities were unlawful and that our term of office had expired is incorrect. Should the irregularities have been unlawful, only a court of law will have to declare them unlawful and set them aside. This is a major principle of law in terms of executive action. The chairperson and her legal advisors as legislators should be familiar with this principle of our legal system. The two issues relating to the term of office of the named commissioners and the expiry of the term of office have to be looked at in terms of the Act. There is no unlawfulness that can be inferred from the appointments. It is only the interpretation of the end of one term and the beginning of the second term of office in the appointment. There is sufficient correspondence in which all these issues and aspects have been thoroughly dealt with. The correspondence have been shared amongst the four interested parties, namely the Speakers of Parliament, the President and the responsible Minister. I'd like to once again point out that this is a matter of constitutional nature and requires the attention of all the parties mentioned. Reference is made to Section 10 of the Commission on Gender Equality, which states as follows, 10(1)(a), the Commission shall be independent, a member of the Commission as well as member of the staff of the Commission shall perform his or her function in good faith and without fear, favor, bias, or prejudice. 2. No organ of state and no member of employee of an organ of state, nor any other person shall interfere with, hinder, or obstruct the commission, any member thereof, or a person appointed under Section 6(1) or 7(1) or 5 in the performance of its, his, or her functions. 3. All organ of state, including any statutory body or functionary, shall afford the Commission such assistance as may reasonably be required for a) the protection of its independence and dignity. The matter in dispute between the President and the Commission threatens the independence of the Commission as it involves the amendment of the terms of office of members outside the prescripts of the law. The President cannot unilaterally terminate the term of office of a commissioner without good reason. He also cannot unilaterally create a legal step that is not in the statute, such as rectifying the term of office of commissioners. The proper route that the President should have followed will have been to set aside the decision of his predecessor on finding that the latter had erred in the manner that he appointed members. Only after a finding of invalidity by a court acting within its jurisdiction can the appointment be declared unlawful and then set aside. Neither Parliament nor its committees has the jurisdiction to declare any executive action unlawful. By doing so, the chairperson of the ad hoc committee acted beyond her powers and could have put the parliamentary process in legal jeopardy. Section 10(3) enjoins all the parties cited to ensure that breach of the law and the Constitution does not happen in this case. Finally, reference to the fact that the Commission requested the Public Protector and other Chapter 9 institutions to look at this matter is correct. This is in terms of Section 11(1)(f) of the Act, which requires that all organ of state should work towards ensuring the dignity of the CGE and that the CGE can turn to other Chapter 9 institutions for assistance on any matter. It is apparent that the committee chairperson paid scant attention to legislation in this instance, and as a result made the unfortunate media statements which, if correctly captured, have impugned the dignity of the commission and the commissioners named. The good work of the ad hoc committee could well have been compromised as a result. I wish to request the office of the Honorable Speaker to investigate this matter with the urgency it deserves and take whatever steps are necessary to bring redress and closure in respect of the issue raised. Sincerely yours, Commissioner Lula Manare, Chairperson of the Commission. This is the first letter which has been brought to the attention of this committee so that it can respond to the allegation raised here.
Welcome, Chairperson. We, as your request, we have dealt with the agenda. Now we are on rule number four, the correspondence. But there was an extensive discussion on number three here, consideration of the amended committee program, and which had a lot of recommendations that have been expressed by the committee. I think I don't know whether we call it not legal or no respect. Lendwienzai. Kobanteta no chairperson. Disaptacha. And this is a fairly sulula man. So there are recommendations, chairperson. People are concerned, especially by the procedure that makes everything to take long, issues of vetting, issues of questions that have been raised by some of the members that led to the recommendation that I made here. The long and short of it is that I'm going to brief you on this, because already we've got recommendations that a delegation must go to the speaker, yourself, Uma Robertin, and somebody, Ma Kaulani. Yeah. So that we can hasten the whole process, because it's problematic for us to shortlist when inani le nziga the candidate zingakhangeli vethwe properly, and we have less girls, because it could mean that the other committee is biased towards the others, and it has a lot of implications, that's it. So there are recommendations that were made, and the other one is that Sifuna State Security, Sifuna them to send someone here so that other SIPA, what is their problem exactly? Those are up to the, now we are on this one. That is why we are reading this letter. And as nobody goes of Salen down here, okay. Honorable Stanley?
Are you on this? On the left? Can we allow Honorable Stanley to hand up and then to you after? And after that, you go. No, we are
ready. Chairperson. Are we going to read the legal letter first, or?
Thanks, Chair. I was still consulting on the second one because...
Why consult with the other chair when I'm doing
Because it came late yesterday after 3, this one, from the lawyers. So probably the first one has been brought to the attention of this committee formally and the speaker knows about it, but this one has been discussed with the speaker. So hence I was alerting her of that fact. But be as it may be, but we should raise that disclaimer first before I engage on the content. We received a letter from Keys, the attorneys, dated 18 February to the Speaker of the National Assembly, Parliament of the Republic of South Africa, 120 Plain Street, Cape Town, per email, Speaker Parliament, from, it says, Madam Ms. Lula Manare, Stroke Commission for Gender Equality. We act on behalf of Ms. Lula Manare hereinafter referred to as our client. Two, client who is currently the chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality has instructed us to request confirmation that client has not been shortlisted for the interviews to fill the vacancies in the CGE. Three, client has previously learned through a media statement purportedly issued by the Honorable Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba, the chairperson of the ad hoc committee tasked with filling vacancies in the CGE, that she will be disqualified from making it into the nomination list. Four, we urgently seek information on whether she has indeed been disqualified from being shortlisted as according to the media statement mentioned above. Five, it is our considered opinion that client as an applicant who has previously been a commissioner qualifies for shortlisting for interviews. Further, we are of the view that she is still qualifying for a further term as a commissioner in accordance with Section 37 of the CGE Act 39 of 1996. Six, in the event there is confirmation that she has indeed been disqualified or will not be shortlisted, we intend to bring an interdict to the process of interviews and or appointment of commissioners interviewed pending a review application in which the decision to bar our client from being considered or shortlisted for a position of being a commissioner under CGE. Seven, we understand that the process of shortlisting is already in motion, so we request response by not later than end of business on Thursday, the 21st February 2019. Yours sincerely, Natin Kize, Kize Attorneys, which is Sutrip 306B Kilan Office Towers. Then it's copied to the Honorable Chair and to Nobatana Committee Secretary. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I think first and foremost one must really declare one shock by the manner in which this chairperson of the Commission of Gender Equality is actually now threatening this committee. Firstly, she's implying that we cannot execute our duties as is expected of us. Of course, her CV is here. Her CV will be considered. And at the end of the day, it's our prerogative as a committee to say we feel that she did not perform as a chairperson and therefore she will not be shortlisted. But to go through all of this length to firstly speak on behalf of the Commission for Gender Equality, which I'm sure she doesn't have a mandate to speak for all commissioners. Secondly, to go and talk about the act is silent in terms of the years that she's allowed to serve. Her term has come to an end. In fact, she's already overstayed her welcome. But then to go as far as to basically threaten us with a legal letter when we haven't even started this process, I think must be rejected out of hand. One will also recall that under her leadership now, there's a lot of infighting. She's threatening people. She's gone on some type of witch hunt, and one doesn't want to get into that. But really, it's this committee's prerogative to review the performance of all commissioners and on that basis say we feel that whether it is all three of these or all of them or only some of them, it is our prerogative to say we don't think that they serve that commission well, the people well, and so we will not shortlist them. And so while this is now a legal matter, and we will, of course, have to have legal assistance in drafting a reply, I think that should be the basis of how we engage on this matter. Firstly, we haven't excluded her. Her name is here. Her CV is here. It is to be considered. But she cannot interdict the process, which hasn't even started, firstly. Secondly, it is our prerogative to say that we don't feel we want to shortlist her if that opportunity arises. And really to run with some sort of comments that the chairperson made, the fact that she also can't run away from is, yes, the Act is silent in terms of whether that 2 years should be included or not. But the fact of the matter is it is us who decide whether she has served her term or not. And in my opinion, her term has extended, and she's not eligible to be reconsidered. So all of this is really frivolous attempts to really intimidate us as a committee, and we really need to take a very strong view on that.
My turn. Thank you, Chair.
I just wanted some order here because we are getting ourselves explaining things that could best be not explained. We are doing procedural here. We haven't excluded anybody. We haven't disqualified anybody. We haven't shortlisted. That's it. So whatever we do, we don't have to get into this other stuff of what the people are doing out there. I just wanted to caution us that we shouldn't try to do some explanation, and we have to be procedural. And procedurally is she had no leg to accuse us, to stand on accusing us of not shortlisting her, or not. We haven't started shortlisting. It's only after we have shortlisted that she can say we didn't shortlist her. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I was recognized by the chairperson, so...
But just as a point of clarity, I was just standing up for the chairperson.
If the chairperson is here, perhaps the chairperson should then, if she wants to direct the meeting. You've recognized me, so I want to know if I'm still recognized or not. I bo kotwa mamam, you said stander. Oh, and Diabolela Kakulo Mamam, and Gosi Sitralo. Madam Chair, this is a complicated issue because the writer says that it was minuted on the Parliamentary Monitoring Group that certain comments were made in this committee. Those could be problematic. What the accusation about her irregular appointment, that is not for this committee to even consider. That aspect of whether her term was 3 months less than she should have been appointed and the other commissioner 3 months more than she should have been, that is not for this committee to decide. That should be referred to the Office of the President. So I think in terms of that issue, we must reject it and not even consider it in this committee, Sihlalo one. On the issue of whether she has been excluded from the shortlisting process or not, I think that we need to have it minuted in the minutes of this committee that she has not been excluded and that all applicants will have an equal opportunity to be considered by this committee and shortlisted. However, during the shortlisting process of this committee, previous conduct, performance reports, etc., of commissioners who are reapplying for a post, I'm not talking about terms yet, but any person who has acted as a commissioner in the past, we are entitled as a committee to consider that performance. So I think we need to have administered that she has not been excluded, and but her performance and conduct in her role will be considered during the shortlisting process. Now, when it comes to the issue of whether or not those 2 years were a full five-year term or not, it is a legal challenge which is up for interpretation, and we should by now have a proper legal opinion expressed to this committee whether since the last expression of that opinion has been changed or not since the last committee. When you consider parliament or a school, a term is a term. Whether you come here in year three or year four, parliament is in session for 5 years. So when she was coming into that term for 2 years, she was there because someone had been there 3 years before. So the position is not there based on the personality. The position is there for the term of the term of office, which is 5 years for a commissioner. So she was completing the 2 years of a five-year term for that position. However, we do need a legal opinion which has been checked and checked and checked so that when it comes time to shortlist, that forms part of our basis for excluding or including a candidate who has already served. So first thing, the issue of irregular appointment must be forwarded to Office of the President. Second thing, it needs to be minuted that she has not been excluded from any process and she will be considered equally as all other candidates. And thirdly, that we need to have a tested, considered legal opinion from our legal support staff on the definition of a term, and that and her performance in the role will be taken into consideration as to whether she is excluded or included. Thank you.
Thank you, Stanner. You know, these letters are addressed to the speaker. If you look at now, I think let us give the chairperson a chance to explain what has transpired here in as far as this first one, and maybe she's going to explain so that the inputs that are made by members are also good, because they are also giving the chairperson, you know, points to deal with this. To me, I don't know whether we should have entertained this way. Okay, chairperson.
Thank you very much, chairperson. My apologies for being late first, because our flight, I was supposed to fly at 7, and SAA changed our flight. Then they had to take me to Mango so that I can be here. Yeah. Honorable Chairperson, I thought just to bring other members who were not in the past meetings on board, I wanted Herman and Kaya to brief, you know, the other members, so that as and when they make their own inputs, they must know that it's not for the first time that we discuss these matters. and how we have dealt with these matters. Hence we are here. Because now, if they are not being informed, they will make inputs, you know, without being informed. So, because Herman, I think you are the one who made the mistake. You were supposed to have briefed the committee holistically, all the steps that you went through, and what was your legal opinion, what was the advice from the legal unit of parliament to the committee. So that, you know, even the letters itself, you were supposed to have explained that we checked all the records, we checked the statement that I issued, that was issued by communication department of parliament. In fact, you should have explained what PMG have written and what it's two different statements. And what are the records saying, and what transpired in that meeting? So that, you know, as members are making inputs, we are informed. Because really and truly, dealing with this matter, of it's like we are being blackmailed some one way or the other. Mm. You know? I thought you are going to help. Please do that. So that my members can know exactly what work have we done, what processes have we followed, even other letters from the public protector, because they were not here. And we have dealt with a lot of letters from the same person, if not, just bring them. All the processes that we went through. Up until now, I think I want to thank honourable members also with regards to the decision. I thought by today the state security will be here, and all the reports will be here. So I'm just amazed. What is the problem? What is another delay now? But I think I will go. Your recommendation will be implemented. We'll have to go to the speaker's office. In fact, last week I was supposed to have met with the speaker. But the speaker was in meetings up until the debate of the president was on, so I couldn't meet with her. Yeah, so we'll meet with the speaker. It's fine. But Uhamben, honourable chair, can he take through our members together with the head of illegal units, because there's a lot of work that we've done.
Thanks, Chair. First, let me point out the issues which has been discussed even before on this committee. Because...
Sorry, Chair. I think also you must start with a letter Ganare. Firstly, she wrote a letter with a letter here to the CGE and signed as the chairperson.
Okay, thanks, Chair. First, before we go to the issue of the letter, but we need to give the correct legal stance here. Because her contention is based that she still qualifies, is based on Section 3-4 of the CG Act. The Act states that Section 3-4A, the members of the Commission may be appointed as full-time or part-time members and shall hold office for such fixed term not exceeding 5 years, as the president may determine at the time of each appointment, provided that the term of office of the full-time members shall not expire simultaneously. In her letter, which she responds, that she says that interpretation cannot be contested, which tacitly she admits, depending on the the prerogative of the president, because the Act only sets the ceiling. It shall not exceed 5 years, which means it may be less. So her first appointment was for 2 years. Then she resigned. Then got reappointed. So for the first term, it's considered a full term. Sorry. So, for that part, we consider that her 2 years, her 1.5 years, which she served because she resigned in September, then it's considered a term. The second one, that she served 5 years, because she said her 2 years is considered a part-time, not a full-year term, a partial term, which is not stated here on the Act. So she is introducing something which is not in the Act. It's a fixed. It's fixed. So what's the meaning of fixed? She knows that one. Then, secondly, on the issue of now masquerading as chairperson, because there were letters from the president which corrected those minutes which actually gave up to the end of March for all the commissioners, it's not only her, almost all the 8 commissioners. So by virtue of those corrected minutes coming from the president, from Lubisi, written to every commissioner, she left office at the end of December. Then it's fraudulent for her to masquerade as chairperson and sign and also use the letterheads of CGE when she is no longer a commissioner there. Those are the issues which this commission should, because in the Act actually is clear that in the absence of the chairperson, the deputy becomes the chairperson. So when her term lapsed at the end of December, then the deputy became the acting chair. So now there's an issue probably of infighting between the former chair and the current deputy. Those are the issues which this commission should not, because she is no longer a chair. And even here on her letter that is coming from her lawyers, she still asserts that she is still the chair. When she is no longer the chair, she has not been office from January till today. So we don't know where. Then we dealt with that issue of the term, which I think in her letter she admits. So she is trying only to say her 2 year term is not full time, it's partial term. That is probably even her contention that she goes to with the lawyers. Then we've tried to get the records of the PMG that she relies on, but most of these reported on the PMG is factually inaccurate. It's full of inconsistencies. Unfortunately, I didn't print out that statement, but I can print for the commissioners to be aware, to read for themselves, for those who were present, and know what transpired during the meeting. And we also happened that the speaker, the deputy speaker, is currently even viewing the footage of what transpired on the meeting in order to respond to her. That is what we've done, considering the issue of the former commissioner. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, as far as the letters are concerned, I think the second letter is the PP, the public protector letter. Okay, you want to, okay.
Yes. Okay, the head or women can talk.
Okay, because thanks, Chair. Initially, she also wrote to the public protector complaining about the error in the terms and also to the president. The president responded to the public protector, and even ourselves as parliament responded to the public protector. So far, there has been nothing coming. I think the public protector is satisfied with the response, because they were corrected in letters coming from the president, and the president responded to the issues raised by the public protector, and ourselves as parliament responded to that. It's something new now that she has decided to go the legal route. Probably even here we have to respond before the 21st, as her lawyer says, insisted here.
Kaya, what's your head? Are you covered? You are covered. Okay.
Well, this is the media statement which was released by this committee on the 22nd. It says the ad hoc committee on gender equality briefed on progress regarding filling vacancies at CGE. Parliament Tuesday, 22 January 2019, because her letter is dated 23 January, so she relies on the statement. The ad hoc committee to identify suitable candidates for the filling of vacancies at the CGE met on Tuesday. The committee was briefed and updated on progress made with regard to filling of vacancies at the CGE. The committee was informed that a total of 88 resumes have been received. All applicants will go through the verification of qualification and employment screening. The committee decided to remove two applicants on the list. The committee was of the view that the two candidates do not qualify to reapply as they have served two terms. In terms of the CGE Act, the two applicants are ineligible and do not qualify to reapply as commissioners as they have served two terms. The committee will be appointing commissioners to fill 8 vacancies. Then the committee will meet on Wednesday, 23 January at 10 a.m., room 475, Old Assembly Building, to deliberate on the criteria for shortlisting candidates. A statement issued by PCS on behalf of the chairperson. That was the statement which she relies on of the 22nd January 2019.
Thank you very much. I think that is how far this letter has been, the letters and everything have been treated. And now, according to myself, I think enough has been done. And listening to your inputs, the members that gave us inputs, they are in line with what the chairperson and the committee, the people who attended to the first letter, the correspondence that they got. There is nothing different, really, because all the things that she is quoting, the act that she is quoting, I don't think she read it very well. She didn't read it very well, and I don't know our final, when we wrap this thing, I think it has been attended to. We cannot further entertain this. Okay, Honorable Stan.
Madam Chair, in terms of the statement, the committee decision to remove two applicants on the list, that was a decision of the committee on the 22nd of January. So then that point is actually null and void. So those two applicants have already been removed. Because the letters are addressed to the speaker, I believe that we should defer this to the speaker. But we've received information that the two previously serving commissioners were appointed for a term not exceeding 5 years. That is the opinion that we've received as a legal opinion. The committee on the 22nd decided already to exclude those two based on that legal opinion, and that is what is included in the statement. So, like the Honourable Chairperson of the Ad Hoc Committee suggested, and yourself, Madam Chair, it's this correspondence becomes correspondence for noting an action by the speaker.
Fundamental, are you also satisfied? Because, you know, I'm just flabbergasted by the fact that as much as she knows the law and she defends all these things, she still makes it an issue, a personal issue. You see, that is between herself and the Honorable Nhlanhla Ncube, which is very wrong. She is talking about the other committee here. She shouldn't be making it so personal. That is wrong also. I just hope that the speaker talks to that, because the speaker is our leader in this parliament. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Actually, we should be suing her for what she said.
Okay, we have
We are going to the. I don't know.
Thank you very much. I think one issue that maybe you are not addressing properly is the fraudulent activities that I think she's engaging on. First of all, she can't write a letter using the letterheads of CGE when she's out of office. And she can't sign or write on behalf of the commission when she's no longer there. You know? And maybe our legal advisors must tell us with regards to such activities, how then do we go about as the ad hoc committee? So that, you know, we can't find ourselves. It's like, you know, the way I see things, it's like you, one way or the other, somebody wants to hold our job at random or hostage. Like, we must not move. We must not do anything as this ad hoc committee. And truly, honourable members, this is not fair, because everybody is entitled to apply, and us as the committee, we are supposed to execute our duties without fear nor favour. So we are executing our duties, and somebody somewhere is trying to make us miserable and not to attend to our parliamentary work. It's not correct. But I think also with regards to this, the very letter that is coming from the lawyers, I'm sure the legal unit must tell us, because even here when you read the second number two, client who is currently the chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality CGE, this is misleading. You know, it has instructed us to request confirmation that the client has not been shortlisted for how. You know, I'm not sure. The legal unit must advise us, honourable members, on how must we deal with this thing. Because this thing is continuing every day.
Thank you, Chair. I think we shouldn't actually be labouring this thing. On these two documents, her names appear. I don't know. With the informants who are informing her, she is not removed from all our activities, from the vetting, the fingerprints and others. But we shouldn't be worried about what she wants to do or what. We go ahead with what we are doing and be procedural. That's all I'm pleading for. Because the rest is just going to be value-laden postulation about what could be and what could have been, what is ideal. That does not add to the procedure that we are following. We are following procedure, we are procedural, legally we are correct. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to remind this committee, the statement reads, of 22 January 2019, the committee decided to remove two applicants on the list. The committee was of the view that the two candidates do not qualify to reapply as they have served two terms. So we can't now say that they will be considered unless we rescind that decision of that committee. So I just want to, we cannot debate that. The committee of 22 January removed those two applicants. So that the committee can either rescind that decision now or let it hold. That's the first thing. The other thing that I wanted to say is that we need to refer those two letters to the speaker. Yes, the former commissioner chairperson is in fact committing fraud. If her term ended at the end of December, then I don't know what capacity she is doing now, using a CGE letterhead and writing a complaint on behalf of the commission. However, it is not for this committee to deliberate on what sanction to take against her. Because she was appointed by the presidency, she must be dealt with by the presidency. This ad hoc committee cannot decide, are we going to take legal action or whatever. What I do propose is that because she is making direct accusations about the independence, bias, whatever, of this committee, we need to again write a letter to the presidency and inform him that this commissioner is now interfering with the processes of this commission. But it is not for this commission to decide what to do with her. That is the thing of the president. But the speaker should be the one to respond to those letters, and the president must deal with Ms. Nare.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe we need just to ask the legal team to respond to her letters. Because if you check our correspondence, there's no way we wrote names of people. We just agreed because as the committee, when we're dealing with how are we going to go about shortlisting, who qualifies to be our candidates, then we came up with this thing of saying we are looking for a person who is a gender activist, a person who has not served for two terms as a commissioner. So we didn't write the name of Lula Manare or whatever, but it was our criteria, our agreement. So we cannot rescind what we agreed upon as a committee. Thank you.
Ngibonga Hlala, mina kwami kusezuba kude. Njoba ngithule nilalele niveteza ngeyingisi. Aba mina ngokwami uLula Manare bengabonile isidiko salo siwesi sikhathi ngaye la. Why ngishiswe yini lokho? Okokuqala nje sekukhombisa usi-undermine sileli komiti. Khombisa ukuthi asiwazi umsebenzi wethu, sezagijima kakhulu uyongena kubameli ngezinto thina okuqala nemhlambe niyakhumbula la sezesakugcizelela ukuthi lane leli komiti lizokwazi ukubheka nabantu ukuthi laba bantu yes bebekade bekhona before kodwa-ke bebephefoma kanjani. Savumelana kanjena la. Le nto yakhe manje le yokugijima, mina ngokwami sengiba ukuthi inemkhuba ngemuva, there is something behind kuyena. Ukhombisa ukuthina asisile la emakhanda. Okokugcina, ngibuyela kulena yelokhuzana yokuthi already akaseyena ushepherson wakakhomishner. So ngamanye amazwi yena. Still nathi kuze sikhombise lana ngiyavumelana noza kwethu ukuthi kufanele lo osinayo la ubhekelela umthetho bamthethele izinyathelo ngokuthi uwenze i-fraud usebenzisa i-letterhead azi kahle ukuthi akasekho kuleso sihlalo ngoba njengomanje ekukhombisa ukubuya waphuma waphinde wabuya bese ngibuyela kummeli wakhe lo angazi ukuthi kanti ummeli mangabe ezothatha udaba lomuntu akaqali ni first ambuze ama-qualification akhe ambuze ukuthi usebenza kuphi useyini yini position oyenzayo naye usazobhala uzokhuluma ezifu nawe usewusihlala naye lo mmeli wakhe angisho ukuthi uzothi wrong but kodwa funa kube ummeli oqikelela angagcina sekuboshwa ngoba sineyinkinga eyingaka nje gcina kuboshwa abantu abawrong ingenxa yabo ubudedengu bakhe nabheke yena imali phambili akhohlwe ukubheka ukuthi lo muntu into ayizayo i-right yini ngiyagcina lapho.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just... Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. According to me, the issue of Lulama, we should not waste time on it. Why I'm saying this? Because she has undermined us. She has gone to an extent now of consulting lawyers. Also, she has undermined our criteria. She has got her own hidden agenda.
Sihlalo, I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry to interrupt. I'm very sorry, Mam Kaula. There was a comment made earlier, we should not discuss the integrity, the personality, the whatever of the person. When we start making accusations about that person or discussing that person by name and saying things about we are up for legal challenge, may I please ask that our discussion is not about the applicant but about what we are going to do. Because any reasonable person, even though those two names are not in the statement, any reasonable person can see who we are talking about. They can deduce from the wording of that paragraph who we are talking about. The committee is not going to get away from that. Sihlalo, we must be careful not discussing the people. This committee can be challenged. I ask that we leave it as it is. There's a committee going to the speaker. The speaker must deal with it. The presidency must deal with it. It's in a legal process. This committee is being recorded. I'm scared.
Sorry, Sihlalo, ungakaphenduli. Sorry, Sihlalo.
Okay, Makau. I'm going to allow you, but I'm quite confused myself now. I just need clarity from Honorable now because I think you are responding to the letter that comes from, that says at the first paragraph we act on behalf of Mrs. Lula Manar, hereinafter referred to as our client. That's what they are referring to. Honorable Nancy, Dana? I need clarity on this.
Sihlalo, ngicela ungamnikeza clarity.
Wait.
Angithi Sihlalo ngikhona ngiyaphila ngisini.
Moment, wait. I say I'm becoming confused of what you are saying because I think the response that is given by Makaula, it's about this person, this letter that indicates that they are written this letter on behalf of Lulam. That's why they are responding in that manner. I thought there is nothing sinister about the whole thing.
translating it to English if you need it here or there, because the comment has already been recorded. So,
I think what Honorable Stanner is saying is that we shouldn't be personalizing as we had agreed. But I think in this response, they are referring to what the letters are saying, which I think is not, there's nothing sinister about the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, Makaula, ufuna ukuthi ngithetha ke ngoku?
No. Sihlale. Yabona njengoba ngila ekomitini. First number one, must understand noma nikwazi. Khona into engiye ngisho, ukhambi kuvela usuku uzoba yi-member of parliament. Qala phansi, ube yi-leader. Yes? Angiqondi ukuthi ngifuna ukuvula ukuthi ngisukaphi, ngiqhamukaphi, ngidlulephi, ngaya kuphi. Uyabona lana. Bengafanele nisilethele yona le ncwadi lento ebhalwe la if kuzoba khona kuthiwa le nto angithi kuthiwa ikhulunywa i-public shiwe yonke indawo angithi lana thini mina ngiphendula according lo ululama nelo lana yes otherwise ngokufanele ningayivuli-ke la ekomitini igcine kuspeaker kanjalo noma kulabo bantu oba mayilana angithi ngifuna sikhulume thina sizoqhubeka kanjani sithina sesazi ukuthi izothi uthi usebenza uthi ubhekele abantu abaphambi kwakho ekugcineni suyabheka ukuthi ulandele kuphi wenze kuphi and ungakwazi kanjani umuntu uthiwe ubhekene naye usenommeli ngapha ekube nasiqala ukuhlala kuleli komiti elinje mina ngisasho ngamanye amazwi thina sifana ukuthi lana siyasatshiswa la sileli komiti mina ngibona singakhululekile sikuleli komiti.
Ya, thina abanye siyakwazi nothi uvela kubona nje. Ungasabi kakhulu. Siyakwazi thina. Honorable Fund Member. Oh, and when he asks us, because he asks when, Robin.
Yeah, thank you. No, Chairperson, what I'm saying is that, in fact, according to my opinion, this matter was not supposed to have been brought here in the first instance. But now, for the mere fact that some of the issues are already in the media, that is why we are entertaining it here in this forum. So I'm answering in terms of what has been brought to us here. That is why I'm responding. Otherwise, I would not be responding. So now, if she's responding in this manner, we are being intimidated. So we shouldn't be intimidated. Thank you.
You know, I'm just going to allow you and then we'll wrap this up because there is no need for us to be discussing this.
Yeah, Chairperson, that's in fact what I wanted to say. I think we've exhausted this matter. It is now a matter that should be dealt with legal and the Presidency and the Speaker's Office.
Mm.
I believe we as a committee have acted within our rights.
Yes.
We have not shortlisted.
Mm.
We have not cast aspersions on anybody. We have not, at this stage, even announced any shortlisted candidates. Neither have we deliberated on it.
Yeah.
So we have acted within our mandate, and we continue to do so. So we've noted these letters. We are relying on the support now of legal services and others to take it up with the relevant forums, but I think we've exhausted the matter. We've noted it. We believe that we have acted within our mandate so far.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
We are done with
that. Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to agree with the honorable members with regards to what we are discussing now, in terms of we stick by what we have, our resolutions as the portfolio committee, and secondly, all the recommendations that we are making now, Chair, I think I want to support all of them, and on behalf of the committee, to withdraw the statements of the lawyers I'm making money and so on and so on. I just want to withdraw the last part of the lawyers so that no member, you know, can be challenged about the issue of the lawyers on behalf of the committee. Yeah. Because those are the only, that is the only part that I feel as the chair that we need to withdraw the words that we echoed by Honorable Kaula. But in terms of other things that she was making her own opinion, there is nothing wrong. Thank you very much.
We're supposed to go to number 5 on the agenda, but it is shortlisting of candidates. Because of the discussions that came on out of the consideration of the amended committee program that indicated to the committee that a lot of work hasn't been done as expected, I don't think we are going to do justice to the shortlisting to this item. I don't know what does the committee say. Yes, yes, Honorable Stanley.
Thank you, Chair. I think that it's the general feeling of this committee that we cannot do the actual shortlisting today. However, Cisnelli emailed the members the shortlisting and interview framework. Perhaps what we can do is, as the committee, just go through that and perhaps adopt that, so that when we do the actual shortlisting, we're happy with this. Or has it been? Has it already been adopted as is? Okay, Ndikolo, I withdraw unconditionally.
Chair, I just want to check. Honorable Standard, I thought all members have received these documents. We have distributed these documents of the criteria long time ago. In fact, there was a proposal that we worked on, and there were additions and omissions that we have made as the committee. I'm sure what you need to do, just check with your secretary or your emails. You'll find it there. But in terms of us proceeding today for the shortlisting, I think I agree with members that we cannot do it because we won't be doing justice. But I'm sure we need to push honorable members that by end of this week, we should get all the reports. Because these reports they have been coming for a long time. And also, I think we need to take a decision on the candidates, applicants, who did not submit their fingerprints. Because I think we've been lenient enough to give everyone an opportunity to submit the fingerprints. If anyone now did not submit our fingerprints, now I don't think we are going to consider a location. The only challenge we are having is that in our advert, it was not stipulated. It's something that came after. So our legal unit must also advise us on how must we deal with that matter. Because on what basis are we going to stand on if somebody did not submit our fingerprints? You know, these are some of the things that we need to look at so that tomorrow we cannot find someone challenging our process because we have disqualified that person because they have submitted our fingerprints. So we need to look at that issue. Seriously, this process must find a way on how do we ensure that you get all the reports from human resource, state security, so that we can be able to continue with our process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Date is, I think the Chairperson agrees that we cannot go on today with a shortlisting of candidates. But everybody has received the documents. I hope you are going to look it up, Honorable Standard. And maybe you are not the only one, and those who think they haven't. In actual fact, it also assists us when we meet people who have got at hand, you know, numbers, and they can go on and tell us why they think those people should be considered, if you go over those, so that it can be faster. There are other ways of dealing with this. Honorable Van der Merwe knows of having lesser people dealing with this and make it a recommendation to the committee later, you know. But let us just do it in that manner, so that next, I don't know when is it, maybe the team can tell us when are we going to meet next, the chairperson, together with the chairperson. So the next item.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, I wanted to make a recommendation with regards to the fingerprints. That let the secretary today call all those people and also send them letters, especially those who did not submit the fingerprints. Just call them today and send them ama letters on its agent. They must submit by such a date. But also, Chair, maybe after our today's meeting or when we go to meet with the Speaker, the other recommendation that I'm thinking, Chair, that we need to add on is that maybe even if our vetting and our qualifications, our reports are not in, we can find a way on how then do we move on with the process, whether we do the shortlisting and then wait before we submit our report or what, because I know that in one of the committees, I don't know which interviews, but when the problem is that they can't submit their report because the issue of vetting was not completed and the verification of qualifications. We'll see. I'm just making I'm just thinking that how best can we deal with some of these things so that we can move with our process? Because when you look at our time frame, remember when you call people for interviews, you have to give them plus minus 7 days, and it's another week, you know, to prepare for them to come for interviews. And when we deliver, we'll have to prepare that they must come for interviews for 7 days, and another week for the interviews, and another, you know, a week for deliberation of on the outcome of the interviews. So I'm just thinking where I'm sitting. I'm very frustrated on how best can we move with the process. Thank you, Chair. I'm just making these last comments before we close the meeting.
Diabulela Sihlalo, and Sihlalo one, what you've said now is exactly what I said in the beginning. Because our program is too tight, we do need to start shortlisting. I understand there has been comments about following procedure. We will still follow procedure because we are going in terms of the framework for shortlisting. So we can go through them and check, do they qualify, etc. Then when we have those candidates, then the vetting reports will come in, the protection reports will come in, and then anything that has affected those shortlisted people, we can then do the last shortlisting. And then at least we will be able to proceed with the interviews. So I hope that we will be able to schedule in our next meeting a shortlisting meeting. And I won't ask to speak again, Sihlalo one.
Hey man, yes, it is true that thina abantu abadala singasabuye parliament. Nazi ngihluka abantwana, come in very well.
Sorry, mom, story. Now, I just wanted to add on the proposal that the chairperson made in terms of writing letters to those who have not given their fingerprints. I think apart from giving them a due date, it's also important then to stipulate in that letter if we don't get feedback from them that they will be disqualified, because we can't keep a process back just because people are not giving their support to our processes, because at the end of the day, they can't be too serious about wanting to be commissioners if they're not giving us their fingerprints. So I think apart from a cut-off date,
also then to say that, you know, if we don't get it, we'll have to move on without them.
Yeah. You know, honorable members, in actual fact, what we have done here is to make sure that we are, as you have said, we have a fallback, we are doing things legally, and we should inform those who haven't done their work properly, so that we are able to have a fallback and say we are going to carry on because we have been given this mandate, and to complete this, you should do this and this and that. That's why we did this. I think, Mina, we have done a thorough job. Yeah, and we have discussed this. By so saying, I thank you. I think we are going to number six now. The closure. The meeting is adjourned.
I will hear again.
Oh. And who won? Umunwe, Isanda, not Umunwe. Makaul, stop it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah.